Hare Krishna. We welcome all devotees to Sri Sharada Gopinath Mandir. After 3 weeks of separation, today we are going to discuss in the morning briefly about the wonderful character of Lord Ramchandra on the occasion of Sri Ram Navami festival. I would like to beg permission from all the assembled Vaishnavas. I would like to seek blessings especially from Vijay Prabhu and Shivas Prabhu, senior devotees in ISKCON and all the other assembled Vaishnavas. Ramayana is foundational to the cultural consciousness of India. If you see in India, every Indian child grows up hearing about Ram, Sita, Lakshman, Bharat, Ravan. From childhood we hear. And Ramayana literally means journey of Ram. And Ramayana teaches us ideal character and the importance of living by dharma, righteousness, virtues. And especially for sadhakas, Ramayana plays a very important, most important scripture, because we see how such exemplary characters have lived by high class integrity, you know, very strictly following vows. Exemplary life of Lord Ram, Bharat, Lakshman, Sita. So for us, we are practicing devotional service right now at the level of duty. We have taken a vow to our spiritual master. So Ramayana teaches us this principle of sacrifice and living by high ideals. So today we'll briefly speak for the purification of my own heart and for the pleasure of all devotees, because ultimately this is the solution for all miseries of material world, getting attracted to the Supreme Lord. And Ramayana contains 24,000 beautiful verses composed by Valmiki Muni, and there are 7 divisions or 7 books. Balakand, which is the childhood pastimes of Lord Ram till he comes back to Ayodhya after bending Shiva's bow and winning the hand of Mother Sita. Then there is Ayodhya Khand. So Bal Khand, today evening Gaurang Prabhu will describe very beautifully the appearance of Lord Ram and how he wins the hand of Mother Sita. I will briefly touch upon Bal Khand, and then we will go to Ayodhya Khand and discuss how devotees experience intense separation from Lord Ram. But to give a brief background, Ramayana begins with Valmiki Muni, who is in his ashram, absorbed in deep thought and meditation, and is visited by his spiritual master Narad Muni. And Valmiki asks Narad Muni, "My dear Gurudev, who is the most virtuous person in this world? Who is the person who has all power, all knowledge? And who is the person who is above all fault finding? Who is completely conquered the 3 modes of material nature, and who, although is very friendly to everyone, still when he is angry, he is feared by all the demigods? Basically, who is the most perfect personality?" This is a search of all human beings in this world. You know, everybody is looking for a perfect person, and most of our miseries is because neither we are perfect nor other people are perfect, but we expect ourselves to be perfect and others also to be perfect. And because of this expectation, we become miserable. So Ramayana teaches us that the perfect person is Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, Valmiki knew, but he humbly submits to his Gurudev, and Narad Muni replies in 100 verses. He gives the essence, the whole Ramayana he presents in the 100 verses, and he explains how Lord Ram, who has appeared in the Ikshvaku dynasty, he is the most perfect person. He is most radiant, most resolute, most sagacious, most intelligent. And he has wisdom like Brihaspati, effulgence like sun, tolerance like Mother Earth, power like Indra. And then Valmiki is very astonished, is very happy. And then he goes to the river bank to take bath, and he sees 2 cranes are enjoying and sporting. And then he sees 1 hunter, he shoots an arrow and kills the male crane. And the female bird is lamenting. The crane is lamenting like anything, crying. And Valmiki's heart is very soft. And Feeling great compassion and sorrow to see this condition, he utters a curse to the hunter who has shot the arrow. But while cursing, he chants a beautiful verse and he composes on the spot. A beautiful composition comes from his heart. Manishat Pratishthama Tamagama Shashvatir Sama Yat Krauncha Mituna Dekha Mavado Kama Mohitam. He's saying, "Oh Nishad, oh hunter, you are so cruel. You have killed this crane bird when it was enjoying. You are so heartless. May you also suffer like this." But he then starts wondering why he cursed and how come this beautiful composition came out. From his shoka, from his lamentation, a beautiful shloka came out. So he's wondering, and actually this verse is the one of the main essence verses of Ramayana, because this captures the mood, the emotion of sorrow, karunaras. Ramayana is filled with the rasa of transcendental sorrow, feeling, you know, the feelings of transcendental separation from the Lord. Whether it is Bharat, Dasharatha Maharaj, we'll discuss about him. He is a pure devotee of the Lord. His intense feelings of separation from the Lord. Then Bharat, Kaushalya, even Sumantra, all the residents of Ayodhya. So, and this is also perfectly in line with the Gaudiya Parampara, where we, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that the highest perfection of life is to love Krishna in the mood of separation. And the six Goswamis of Vrindavan also exemplified this. E Radhe Braja Devi Ke Chalalite. So they were also chanting like this. One Srila Prabhupada was in New York and all devotees, new people were coming for the program. And and people would ask strange questions. But once one girl, Govinda Dasi, she raised her hand and said, "Swamiji, I have heard this separation of Goswami's feelings for Krishna. What is this?" Srila Prabhupada was surprised because nobody asked these kind of questions. Immediately his eyes became big. He said, "Oh, very good question. Excellent question." And then Srila Prabhupada started describing the mood of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And while describing, Prabhupada went into ecstasy. And he just went on describing and at one point of time he closed his eyes. And tears were coming from his eyes. And he was just sitting silently, not moving at all. And all of them, they didn't know what is the audience there, they didn't know what is loving separation of the gopis for Krishna. But they understood that Swamiji is in some very high level trance. They could see that. So they were all quiet. They didn't know what to do. And it went on for a long time. Everyone is quiet. And then finally, what to do now? So Brahmanand Prabhu, huge, big Bruce, he was sitting right in the front. He picked up kartals and started chanting, "Hare Krishna." So then Prabhupada came back to external consciousness. So then devotees realized that Srila Prabhupada was absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord. So like this, Ramayana, you will find intense feelings of separation. Although we may not be qualified, but still for the purification of our heart, we'll just speak and we'll hear. And then Valmiki Muni comes back to his ashram and Brahmaji tells him that actually I inspired you to chant this verse, so you should compose Ramayana, glorify Lord Ram's virtuous qualities. And then Valmiki Muni closes his eyes and he starts composing beautiful verses, and his disciple Bharadwaj Muni is there and he records the whole thing. And 24,000 verses he chants. And then in his ashram were living Lava and Kush, who are the sons of Lord Ram after Sita was exiled. So Lava and Kush learn it from Valmiki Rishi and they come to Ayodhya and they sing the glories of Ramayana. And Lord Ram becomes excited. And Lord Ram calls his brothers and they all sit and hear Ramayana from Lava and Kush. Very, very, very interesting too. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself is attracted by Ramayana. And to counteract the effects of Kali Yuga, this is the best process. Hearing and chanting. So if the Supreme Lord can hear about the Lord's pastimes, why can't we hear? Because of passion and ignorance, we cannot hear, that's all. And Bhagavatam also describes, Parasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavatyasha mitorati mita tushtis nivrittir mita atmana. That parasparanu katanam, when devotees come together and glorify and they do katha and hear, Pavanam, this is the most purifying activity. Pavanam, Bhagavat, Yasha, glorification of the Lord's qualities is the most purifying activity. Mita Rati, Mita Tushtis, devotees should come together and develop attraction for each other also based on hearing and chanting of the Lord's pastimes. Mita Tushtis, this alone will, this interaction will alone give complete satisfaction to the heart. Mita is also the root for, Mita means two individuals coming together. This is also the root for the word Maithun. So Mitha means when we come together for Harikatha, then sense gratification we can be easily able to, we can give up. Mitha Rati, Mitha Tushtis, Nivrittir, Mitha Atmana, Nivrittir, we can easily give up. We can feel relief from material miseries when we come together and glorify the Supreme Lord. And this is ultimately the peace formula. Because in material world, we cannot stop the onslaught of miseries. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of a salt mine. If you enter a salt mine with the, you know, if you enter with a plate of sweets, what is the probability that no drop of salt will fall on that? It's not possible. Or you enter, Gauranga Prabhu gives the example, you enter a coal mine wearing white shirt, white trousers, white socks, everything white. What is the guarantee that you will come out of that coal mine without a drop of black coal on your clothes? Not possible. Similarly, material world is dukkhalayam. And this is the solution. So we will go ahead and we will hear in the evening the beautiful appearance of Lord Ram. Now we will go to Ayodhya after Lord Ram has returned after having won the hand of Mother Sita from Janak Maharaj's kingdom, Mithila. There is a joyous welcome in Ayodhya and all the citizens are extremely happy. And Lord Ram is now 27 years old. And Dasharath Maharaj is considering appointing and installing Lord Ram as the Prince Regent, means the emperor, the next king. And he is very anxious. And he calls Vasishtha Rishi, who is his close minister and guru, and he asks his opinion. And immediately, Vasishtha Rishi and close ministers of Dasharath Maharaj, they all give approval. Excellent. And then Dasharath Maharaj calls all his ministers next day to the assembly. And then he says to all of them, "My dear ministers, all of you please speak up. I may be blinded by passion, I may be a fool, but I want to know, I have a desire in my heart. I want to appoint Ram as the Prince Regent." And immediately, when all the ministers hear this, Lord Ram had won the hearts of all the citizens of Ayodhya by his super excellent virtuous qualities. So when they hear that Dasharath Maharaj is contemplating appointing Lord Ram as the Prince Regent, they all roar in joy, just as peacocks would roar in anticipation of a rain cloud. And then the people tell Dasharath Maharaj, "My dear king, you have been the best ruler. You have taken excellent decisions. And your son Ram is the best successor. We request you now that you can please retire peacefully. You have done your duties excellent. And this is the best decision." Dasharath Maharaj becomes very happy. He comes down off his royal throne, bows down to Vasishtha, and Vasishtha Rishi says, "So be it." This is very auspicious. And then, that night, Dasharath Maharaj, he gets very bad dreams. He starts seeing many inauspicious omens. And he becomes a little worried. And he tells Vasishtha Rishi that we should have installation immediately. Let us not wait. And during this time, Dasharath Maharaj had sent Bharat and Shatrughna to their in-law's place, to Emperor Kushadwaja's kingdom, to help him in his kingly affairs. So they were not in the kingdom. But Dasharath Maharaj wanted to immediately do this process of installing Ram. And Vasishtha Rishi also approves. And then Dasharath Maharaj calls Ram and tells him that tomorrow we will install you as the Prince Regent. And immediately the news spreads. Everyone becomes excited. The bards, they compose beautiful songs. The poets compose poems. All the people are decorating the whole city of Ayodhya. Because the next day, there is going to be the installation of Lord Ram. Now, as this news spreads everywhere, one person becomes extremely disturbed. Who is this? Mantara. Her mind recoils at the thought, at the prospect of Ram being appointed as the king. Why? Because she feels her position is threatened. She becomes very insecure. Because she was the servant of Kaikeyi. And she was a hunchback. And she was constantly ridiculed. But now, since Kaikeyi became the favorite queen of Emperor Dasharatha, she was also offered respect. Because she was the main servant of Kaikeyi. And even Kaushalya's servants would respect her. Everyone was respecting her. And now she was feeling that now if Ram becomes the king, I will lose my position as the main servant. So she was fuming with rage at the prospect of losing her status. As they say, even a pauper is proud of his penny. And I remember once few of us brahmacharis went to meet Radhana Swami Maharaj in the initial days. We had just joined, 10 of us. So Maharaj was asking all of us, what services you are doing? So we were book distribution, preaching. And one brahmachari was sitting in the end, he was very happy. He thought Maharaj loves menial seva, humble seva. So he said, Maharaj, I clean toilets in the brahmachari ashram. Very happily he was saying. And Maharaj became very grave. He said, you can become proud of cleaning toilets also. You know, it's not something great. So he was making a point how anyone can become proud, you know. Even Mantara was feeling insecure. And she became so insecure, she ran to Kaikeyi. And she said, get up, oh foolish woman. Don't you see disaster is staring at your face? A flood of misery has come to your doorstep. You are threatened with utter ruination. Get up. And Kaikeyi was worried. Kaikeyi was wondering, what is wrong with Mantara? And she inquired, what's wrong with you? Why are you so agitated? And Mantara became even more angry, seeing that Kaikeyi is ignorant. And now, she replied in a very low voice. She came closer. And she told Kaikeyi, Kaikeyi, I am your well-wisher. I speak only for your benefit. And generally, when you're envious, you know, you feel you are actually doing service. This is what Daksha also felt. If you read Bhagavatam, Daksha before cursing Shiva, the first thing he says, Nacha Agyanam Nacha Matsarat. I am not speaking out of ignorance. I am not speaking out of envy. So first Daksha is clarifying, I am not envious. Similarly, Mantara is saying, I am speaking for your interest, not my interest. Kaikeyi, you are in royal life. You are a queen. But you are ignorant of the diplomacy of kings. You don't realize that the king will speak very sweet words in front of you, but behind your back, he will plan your destruction. Don't you realize that the king has sent Bharat away because he wants to destroy you? And then with blazing eyes, she told Kaikeyi, Dasharath Maharaj has sent Bharat so that he can now install Ram. And Kaikeyi immediately smiled on hearing that Ram is going to be installed. And then she became so joyful, she jumped up and she embraced Mantara. And then she wondered, why is Mantara angry? Kaikeyi, she would have punished anyone else if they had expressed anger at the installation of Ram. But then she thought, Mantara is an old lady, she is a little senile, and she is from my parents' place, I know her for many years. She has no malice in her heart. She is a nice lady, she is just going a little crazy. So Kaikeyi picked up a beautiful gold necklace, actually a brilliant diamond necklace, which was set in gold. And she told Mantara, you have given me the best news, please take this. And she put that necklace on Mantara's body. And she said, Kaikeyi says, Rameva Bharate Vaham विशेषं नोपलक्षये तस्मात् तुष्टास्मि यद्राजा रामं राजे विषेयते. आई एम सो हैप्पी विद दशरथ महाराज. तस्मात् तुष्टास्मि यद्राजा. आई एम कंप्लीटली हैप्पी एंड सैटिस्फाइड दैट राम इज गोइंग टू बिकम द किंग, द एम्परर. ही इज गोइंग टू अपॉइंटेड एज प्रिंस रीजेंट. एंड माय डियर मंथरा, रामे वा भरते वाहम. फॉर मी राम एंड भरत आर सेम. विशेषम नोपलक्षय, देयर इज नो डिफरेंस. आई एम कंप्लीटली हैप्पी. जस्ट सी हाउ कैके इज जुबिलियंट. बट मंथरा, वेन शी सीज दैट कैके इज एक्सट्रीमली हैप्पी, शी स्टार्ट्स हिसिंग लाइक अ स्नेक, एस्पेशली अ ट्रैम्पल्ड सर्पेंट. हाउ दैट सर्पेंट गेट्स एजिटेटेड. शी इमीडिएटली पिक्ड अप हर नेकलेस एंड शी थ्रू इट अवे. एंड देन शी स्पोक, शी सेड, कैकेयी, भरत has the same claim to the kingdom as Ram. Don't you remember when you got married, Dasharath Maharaj promised your father that your son will be made the king, and if Ram becomes the king, he will see your son Bharat as an enemy, and Lakshman and Shatrughna will never become the king. They will never claim to be the king because Lakshman is attached to Ram, Shatrughna is completely attached to Bharat. So either Ram or Bharat can be the king. And my mind is very fearful to think of the danger to your son Bharat from Ram. And then Mantara became more angry and eyes were bloodshot with anger. And she said, Kaikeyi, we must immediately do something. Immediately we should do something before the royal throne passes to someone else. We have to do something, because you will be bereft of all royal fortune. Now Kaikeyi, she never thought that Ram would ever have any ill will towards her own son Bharat. And she told Mantara, Mantara, what are you saying? Ram loves Bharat. In fact, Ram, Bharat, they love each other so much that Ram will be the king, but it will be my son only who will be ruling. There is no difference. In fact, Ram will give away the kingdom to Bharat's son. It's all the same. And Mantara shouts at Kaikeyi. She says, you are stupid. How can Ram give it to Bharat's son? Ram's son will have claim over the kingdom. You don't realize the great danger? But Kaikeyi continues to argue. But the turning point in the whole discussion happens when Mantara starts playing upon the natural rivalry between the queens. So earlier, now in the kingdom of Maharaj Dasharath, in the palace, Kaushalya was snubbed in favor of Kaikeyi, because Kaikeyi was a favorite queen of Dasharath Maharaj. But now, Mantara is saying all this, that now you will lose your position. Kaushalya will become the favorite queen of the emperor. Because she will become Rajmata. She will become the mother of the next king. And you will be her maid servant. So that's when she starts planting the seed of doubt. That competition, you know. Maya knows our ins and outs. She knows exactly what is that weakness. She catches on that. And most unimaginable trap, you know. Sometimes we think, no, I'm comfortable. And suddenly Maya just gets us. And just because Kaikeyi submissively heard from Mantara, her mind got poisoned. When we expose ourselves to bad association, and especially materialistic association, and we hear prajalpa, nonsense, criticism of devotees, gone. It's a matter of time. Raghunathas Goswami in his Manashiksha, he compares prajalpa to a different, you know, different anarthas, he compares to different things. And prajalpa he compares to prostitute. And Sachinandan Maharaj very graphically once explained that, why does a prostitute lure a customer with all her charms? Is she really interested to give joy? No, she is interested in the money in his pocket. Similarly, when we engage in prajalpa, it appears very titillating, very exciting, very nice. But prajalpa, that when we do maya, she is not interested in our happiness actually. Just like the person loses all his money to a prostitute, similarly we lose our devotional credits. And then Maharaj said, the most expensive of all prostitutes is Vaishnav Aparad, Vaishnav Ninda. She will take away all your wealth of devotional service, devotional credits. So like that, KK was hearing about, you know, all this negative from Dasharath Maharaj, how he is plotting. Slowly KK's intelligence started getting contaminated. And she started seeing Ram's installation as injustice. And then, first time in this conversation, Kaikeyi's face starts, mind and face starts wavering. She's a little confused. She starts looking like this. And Mantara understands. Now she's confused. So immediately Mantara takes her hand and puts it on Kaikeyi's hands. She grasped her hands. This is a sign of empathy and love and care. When you hold someone's hands, that person feels you really love them and you really care. So now she has already planted this seed of doubt. And now everything makes sense to Kaikeyi. And Mantara says, Kaikeyi, there is one way you can be saved from this disaster. Bharat should be installed as the king. Now Kaikeyi was intrigued. How can this happen? Dasharath Maharaj is going to install Ram. And now Mantara reveals her insidious plan, deadly plan. See, this is how slowly she's entered. You know, Maya enters like a needle, comes out like a plow. Like, once in New Vrindavan, I was hearing from devotees that one lady, she was a little careless and the curtain in her house got fire. Small spark. And then she was outside. And then in 5 minutes, the whole house was burnt. One small spark of criticism we expose ourselves to materialistic association and slowly we don't know how ravaging it can be. Srila Prabhupada also, he entered like a needle to America and then he came out like a plow. When he entered, people thought an old man is coming to sell his books. But, and Srila Prabhupada said also that if Americans had known what I am going to do, they would have killed me. So Prabhupada entered like a needle and came out like a plow. And this philosophy Maya also knows. So she also enters like a needle. And you know, even if we protect ourselves from all attacks of Maya, we build a nice strong wall and there is one crack somewhere, through that she will come. That's how deadly. So Mantara starts reminding Kaikeyi how she assisted her husband in a war. And once when Dasharath Maharaj was unconscious, Kaikeyi had helped. And she had taken the chariot. And that time Dasharath Maharaj got the name Dasharath. Means he was expert in fighting in 10 directions at the same time. Dasharatha. You know, he could 10 directions simultaneously he could fight. He was so powerful. But he was unconscious and Kaikeyi took over the reins of the horses and she took Dasharath Maharaj to safety. And Dasharath Maharaj was very happy and he told her, I will give you whatever you want. Ask for any two boons. And she had deferred it to a later date. She said, I will take at the right time. So Mantara is now reminding, you can ask these two boons. And now Kaikeyi was really upset. How could the king cheat her? She started thinking, oh, the king is loving me only to win my favor. But now I am very angry with him. He has conspired with Ram to send Bharat away. Now this whole politics is obvious to me. See how she is imagining. You know, this is how assumptions, we make assumptions, we imagine, and it's most of the time completely off reality. I don't know if you have experienced this. Sometimes mind by default likes to imagine negative. It likes to go to negative. Once I remember some years ago, our base cook, he went out. He said, I'll come in 1 hour. And he didn't come for 4 hours. And after 1 hour, I was only thinking, what happened? Accident ho gaya. Hospital, police se phone aayega. You know, I started imagining many things. Or he ran away. Maybe he has stolen some money. So many. And finally, he came back after 4 hours saying, I was stuck in a traffic jam. And then, as if nothing had happened. And then I was thinking, I wasted 4 hours just, you know, assumptions, imagination. So by default, it goes into negativity. Like in our program, one congregation program, one lady was saying that once she got very late the previous week and she got somehow that auto rickshaw got spoiled and she was at the middle of the road at night 11:30. She had to go home. And as she was describing, she said one man came, strange looking man in a bike, and he said, Hare Krishna. And And he said, I can drop you home. And she was desperate. Her mobile was not working. So many things. So he dropped her. And suddenly he took her to a very dark lane. And she said, what is this road? And he said, it's a shortcut. And like that, he took her to another lane. Like that, 3-4. And finally, she reached home safely, 10 minutes before time. And she was very grateful to him. And then he went away. And as she was saying, I was like really listening to it in very, you know, tense. And then she smiled and she walked away. And then I realized my mind, you know, by default, assumed that something nasty will happen. Just because she was saying that this man took and this happened. So by default, we think something unpleasant will happen. Our mind, we have trained our minds many times to imagine injustice, wrong, negative, you know. And we think, oh, this devotee is plotting against me or he is doing this. As if devotees, they have a hajar things to do. They are not bothered about me, you know. But we think, nahi, mere liye, lecture mein point bola, mere liye bola. Bro, everybody is engaging in, happily they are engaging in devotional service, but we make a mess of our lives. You know, but just imagination, assumption. Kaike is imagining, oh, Dasharatha Maharaj did like this, he's done like that. So then Kaike tells Mantra, yes, right now I will go to Dasharatha Maharaj. I will tell him to make Bharat as the king. And immediately Mantra says, no, don't go now, wait. And with very cunning eyes, you know, she narrowed her eyes down and then she told Kaike, don't simply ask for Bharat to be made the king. Ask for banishment of Ram. And immediately Kaike says, why banish Ram? Let Bharat be the king. Mantara knew that if Ram remains in the kingdom, Bharat will not accept the kingdom. And he will never become. For this is the best time to send Ram away when Bharat is not here. But Mantra presents it differently. She says, if Ram remains in the kingdom and if Bharat becomes the king, then Ram will do politics and he will seize the kingdom. So then Kaike understands. Yes, very good logic. So she says, okay, I will go immediately and I will ask for these two boons. And she goes. And again Mantra stops. She says, no, this is not the way to ask. Put on soiled clothes. Go to the sulking chamber. You know, those days, the queens had huge rooms for different purposes. So if somebody was angry, there was Kopa Bhavan. You know, if you are angry, you can go to that room. So that was the opulence of Ayodhya, of Dasharatha Maharaj. So Mantra tells her, you go to sulking chamber, stay there, and you lie down on the bare floor and let your hair in disarray and throw away all your ornaments. And just keep weeping and keep crying. And Kaike was actually guileless. She was very simple. Although she was very angry with Dasharatha Maharaj, she would have never acted politically. But Mantara, she was leading her along. She was masterminding the whole plan. And then she said, Kaike, use your charms. And then Kaike said, yes, the king loves me. He loves me for my beauty. He loves me for my charms. And every night he comes and spends with me. And Mantara smiled. And she said, yes, every night he comes to you. But tonight, he will be in for a big surprise. And then she tells what she should do. And Mantara, she tells Kaike, remember Kaike, your husband will offer you many gifts. Don't get tempted. Be focused. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Just ask for these two benedictions only. Now, Kaike was actually very gentle. She was very kind by nature. She was also very wise. But she lost her good sense because of the influence of Mantara. And the most amazing thing is, when Ram got married to Sita, the first person Ram and Sita went and took blessings was of Kaike. So when they entered Mother Kaike's palace, Kanak Bhavan, if you still go today to Ayodhya, you will see Kanak Bhavan is one of the most beautiful temples of Lord Ram. Most beautiful temples. That was Kaike's palace. So when Ram and Sita entered Kaike's Kanak Bhavan, Kaike embraced Ram and Sita with so much affection, and then she walked out of the palace saying, this is a gift to you. She gave that Kanak Bhavan to Ram. She had so much attachment. But now look at what has happened. And Kaike became so mad, she became so influenced by Mantara, she started glorifying Mantara for her beauty, for everything. And she thanked her and she said, Mantara, you are so beautiful. You are so wonderful. Your hunchback is also beautiful. She said, your hunchback is like a beautiful lotus that is bent when breeze blows. And I'm going to decorate your hunchback with gold chains. I'm going to massage your hunchback with beautiful, with very nice sandalwood oil. She lost all sense of discrimination. But it all began with hearing negative comments about Ram and Dasharath Maharaj. That's why Rupa Goswami says, Atyahara Prayasascha Prajalpa Niyamagraha. Prajalpa, you know, one of the six, Shadbir Bhaktir Vinashiti, our bhakti will be destroyed when we lend submissive ears to hear this. Many times, you know, as devotees, we don't like to criticize, but if there is some gossip going on, we like to hear. Because we know the philosophy, so we may not speak, but it appears very titillating. And we hear, and then after hearing, then we like to give 2-3 comments in between, and then we feel satisfied. The comment de diya. And if somebody is not wanting to do, then we call him, oh, you're trying to be a pure devotee. Be normal. But actually, this is dangerous. And especially negative katha, criticism, chastising, shouting. You know, basically negative vibration, sound vibration is very deadly. In Solomon Islands, there are huge trees. And they can't break these trees. They're huge. So what these local people do when they have to cut some trees, they go below that tree and they shout abuses to that tree for a few weeks. And the tree becomes very weak. And then when they come and hit the root, the tree falls off easily. That is the power of sound vibration. And in contrast to this, in Scotland, there is one community called Findhorn community. They are expert in growing vegetables and flowers in a barren land. Absolutely barren land. They will, beautiful flowers grow there. And how they do it? They have called one gardening technique called Deva gardening. Deva, you know. They talk to the plants and trees and the vegetables, you know, the crops. And they emit very positive vibrations. Even today, if you go to a trendy urban bookstore, you will find at least half a dozen Deva gardening manuals. So you can see there. And you will see that the power of sound vibration. So when we live with devotees and if we have a culture of, you know, nice talk, pleasant talk. So then Kaikeyi becomes so convinced of Mantara, she goes with Mantara to Kopa Bhavan, the sulking chamber, and there she lies down like this, and then she tells Mantara, I will remain like this. Either Bharat is installed as a king and Ram is banished, or I will not take food and water and I will depart from this world like this. Now Mantara started smiling. Now she was confident that the plan will be successful. And then quietly, as the most tragic part of the drama was about to unfold, she quietly left. She was the main person, but now she's not in the picture. The people who actually, they do, you know, mischief. The people who actually do politics, you'll never find them in the front. So she ran away. And we have also trusted Mantara like our mind, and we have banished the Lord from our hearts. And now we have in Kali Yuga so many distractions, so many agents, so many areas where through which we can, our love for the Lord can be finished. Like there was one devotee I knew, he was chanting 16 rounds every day, and recently he had given up chanting. So then we were speaking, and then after some time he only opened up and he said, Prabhuji, I spent 6 hours every day on Facebook. I was like, 6 hours? I said, you can spend 2 hours chanting 16 rounds, you can hear 1 hour your spiritual master's lecture, 1 hour you can read Prabhupada's purports, and then still you have 2 hours for Facebook. Don't give up Facebook, but you know, because it may be important for your seva, but the how Maya enters, you know, in our lives. And there is one lecture I was hearing of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, was saying, Maya is the greatest thief. And he was saying how 21st century Maya is coming in newer and newer varieties. And he was giving a very nice example. He said, earlier thieves would come in gross form, you know, wearing black clothes with the black. But later on, thieves became smart. They became very sophisticated. They started dressing up nicely. Like we had this Charles Shobraj, if you know. Very smart. You know so many languages. And then he said how today thieves come in even more sophisticated forms. They'll first come and give money. They'll give 1 crore donation. Then they will take away all your wealth. So he was saying how people, the thieves have changed. And now, instead of thieves coming in black robes and gross forms, a 16-year-old boy could be a thief sitting at his home. You could hack the password of some bank and you could take away all the money. So then you're saying how similarly Maya, you know, when we think of Maya, we think something gross. But you're saying no, 21st century Maya is very subtle. You know, she'll come through internet, which is the forum for most all irresponsible people. For them, the best forum is the most irresponsible behavior. If you want, you'll find it in the internet. Anything goes there. Anything can be spoken about anybody. And once one gets exposed to this, this contamination, it's mantra, destroying our faith in Lord Ram. So continuing the pastime, Dasharatha Maharaj, he comes. As usual, he's very happy. And then the guards tell him, Queen Kaikeyi is not here. She has gone to the sulking chamber. And Dasharatha Maharaj is surprised. He is dismayed at this very strange behavior. And then he comes. And what he sees? Kaikeyi is lying. She's looking miserable. Like a rose creeper that is violently thrown from a tree. Or a beautiful apsara who's fallen from the heavens. Or a deer lying in a hunter's trap. Kaikeyi was lying. And Dasharatha, because Kaikeyi was his favorite queen, so he picked her up fondly, stroked her hair, and then he roared, "Who has dared to hurt you, my favorite queen? Who deserves punishment today from my hands? Please know that the wealth of the entire planet belongs to you. My dear queen, please rise and tell me the source of your sorrow." And Kaikeyi, what did she do? What did she reply? She didn't say anything. She just kept quiet and looked at the other direction. And then Dasharatha Maharaj went to the other direction. And then again started appeasing her. Then she looked at the other direction. Finally, after a long time of appeasing, she was comfortable. And then she said, she put forward a terrible proposal. And she said, "My dear king, nobody has insulted me, but please vow that you will fulfill my desire. I have a desire." And immediately Dasharatha took her head and put it on his own lap, straightened her disheveled hair, and said loudly, he proclaimed, "I swear by Ram that I will satisfy whatever desire you have. By that very Ram from whom separation would surely end my life, I will carry out your order. Indeed, by Ram for whom I would exchange my own self and I would exchange the whole planet Earth, I promise to do your bidding. Please reveal your mind, O gentle lady. Tell me." So this is a thrice spoken vow. Three times he says, "By Ram, I will fulfill your desire." So Kaikeyi starts inwardly rejoicing that thrice he has said that he is going to fulfill my vow. And then she starts telling him what you couldn't even tell an enemy. She starts telling Dasharatha Maharaj. And then she says, "Let all the gods, let the wind, skies, stars, moon, let all of them bear witness. My dear king, you once gave me two boons. Today I ask for those two boons. Promise me that you will fulfill them." And blinded, Dasharatha Maharaj was blinded by the powerful sway of passion. He agreed. And like a deer which steps into a deadly trap, Dasharatha Maharaj agreed and Kaikeyi asked for those two boons. What are those two boons? That Bharat should be installed as the prince regent and Lord Ram should be banished for 14 years into exile. And when Dasharatha Maharaj heard this, for some time, he was shocked, stunned. He couldn't move. He became like a statue. In utter disbelief, just it was such a shocking thing for him that he just couldn't move his body. You know, sometimes when you are really shocked, some bad news, you don't know what to do. So this agonizing anxiety. I remember once I saw an accident many years ago, 94, at Lower Parel station. One man, I saw local train came, his both legs got broken and he ran and he sat on the platform and I was shocked because everywhere there was blood and he was running on his knees and he ran to the platform and he sat on the platform like this. And I was wondering, how can somebody sit like this? Both legs are gone. And he was sitting like this for 10, 15 seconds he was. And then he started screaming and trembling, you know. So then I realized that the pain must have been so intense that he was shocked. So Dasharatha Maharaj was like that. He was like shocked when Kaikeyi asked for these boons. And then he screamed. He said, "Alas, what a calamity, what a calamity." And he fell down unconscious. Then he came back to consciousness. And the first emotion he went through was anger. He thundered, "Oh, cruel lady, O wicked woman, what harm have I or Ram ever done to you? Now I realize that for so long I had held a poisonous serpent on my bosom. I can never part with Ram. Never, never. I will never part with Ram. But Dasharatha Maharaj, as he was shouting like this, he also knew that he had vowed. And he can't go back on the vow. And he can't break his vow. So he knew that. So on the one hand, he's saying, I will never part with Ram. He's very attached to Ram. But he's feeling helpless. And therefore his anger, emotion changed. That these words broke off. And that anger, emotion changed into tear. He couldn't sustain that anger. And then he started crying. And he said, the world may exist without the sun. The crops may grow without water. But I cannot part with Ram. He started crying. And he put his head on her feet. Just a few minutes back, he had taken her head and put it on his lap. And now, he started trembling like a fish out of water. He said, please be gracious upon me. Please don't ask for this boon. And Kaikeyi simply sat impassively as if nothing has happened to her. She was just sitting. And then first, Dasharatha Maharaj got angry. Then, tears. And then Dasharatha Maharaj started doing negotiation. He said, okay. Let Bharat be the king. No problem. You will be happy. Let Bharat be the king. But why are you sending Ram to the forest? What evil spirit has possessed you? Don't you know that Ram serves you even more than Bharat serves you? But again, Kaikeyi, she didn't take this negotiation also seriously. She just kept quiet. She remembered Mantara. Mantara had told all this will happen. So she just remembered Mantara and she sat in silence. Then after anger, tears, negotiation failed, then Dasharatha Maharaj used logic. He said, you have never complained of Ram all these years. Why suddenly? And don't you know how much Ram loves you? And you have never had any issues with him. How come suddenly you are wanting this benediction? So he realized that logic is also failing. And finally, he just expressed love. He said, Kaikeyi, I love you. I am an old man. I am about to die. Please save my life. As he was begging, he was so attached to Lord Ram. As he was begging, Kaikeyi was just looking coolly, as if nothing has happened. And finally, Dasharatha Maharaj stopped. And then Kaikeyi spoke fiercely. She said, shame on you, O king. Today you are confirming my doubts of your sincerity. How will you show your face to your ancestors? Today you are betraying your glorious race by installing Ram and enjoying with Kaushalya. And Dasharatha Maharaj immediately becomes very angry and he says, I saw you always as my devoted and chaste wife, but today finally you have killed me. Just as a hunter entices an animal with soft melodious music, you have enticed me with your charms and finally you have killed me. And then Dasharatha Maharaj explains how material pleasure can be miserable. So Dasharatha Maharaj was in great dilemma because he is completely attached to Ram. At the same time, wow. Ragukul Riti Sada Chaliyaye Pran Jaye Par Vachan Na Jaye. So he has given this vow. So he's not able to go back. So we should remember Dasharatha Maharaj is a pure devotee of the Lord. He had only one weakness. That is, he was attached to Kaikeyi, but now that vow he had made to Kaikeyi was proving very, very costly. Finally, he said, I disown you as my wife. I reject you. Now the situation happened is, completely reversed. Now Kaikeyi got angry. Now it's completely ulta. Now she's accusing Dasharatha Maharaj. She says, oh monarch, don't say such hurtful and scathing words. Your vow is simply empty words. I am merely asking that you give me what you only vowed. You already promised this. Do your duty. Call Ram here, banish him to the forest, and stand fast to your virtues. And Dasharatha Maharaj cried, and he said, I am tightly bound by the cords of morality. I am helpless. My judgment is failing me. I don't know what to do. And in this evil hour, I simply seek refuge of Ram. Please bring my gentle son Ram in front of me. Saying this, Dasharatha Maharaj tried his best to convince Kaikeyi. So he was completely exasperated. He was exhausted with his grief as well as his attempts to convince Kaikeyi, and he fainted away. And his wife was just standing. Kaikeyi was just nearby. And this was the night time. A lot of hours had passed in the night. Few hours was left for the morning. Anxious hours passed. And finally the morning. Now this is the early morning. Everyone in Ayodhya is thinking, now there is going to be Ram's installation. There is a lot of excitement. And Sumantra was the minister who had served Dasharatha Maharaj very loyally for many, many years. And he was so excited and he was so happy. He rushed to Dasharatha's palace. And the guards informed him, he is not here. He is in Kaikeyi's palace. So he ran. While running to Dasharatha Maharaj, in great happiness, he started composing poetry glorifying Dasharatha Maharaj. And as soon as he saw Dasharatha Maharaj, he chanted those prayers. He said, "Rise, O Emperor, rise, do your duty. Just like the morning sun rises from the eastern hills, you are now going to install Ram. Please give us the permission. We are going to proceed with the ceremony." And he was just jumping, dancing. He was so joyful, Sumantra. And Dasharatha Maharaj looked at him, got up from his seat, went close to him and embraced him and started crying. And said, "Sumantra, your words are very well chosen, but they are inflicting my heart only with pain." And then Dasharatha Maharaj couldn't say anything more. He just said, "Ram." And then he again sat on the chair. Sumantra was a very big minister. He was unable to fathom, what is wrong with my king? Why is he sad? This is a strange thing, because last 27 years he's been waiting for this moment. And Kaikeyi saw that Sumantra is bewildered. He is mystified. So she told Sumantra, Kaikeyi told Sumantra that the king has been awake the whole night. He has been considering about Ram's installation. So he is very tired. He has not slept. So he wishes to see his son Ram. Please go and get him. Now Sumantra was very intelligent. And he knew that something is surely wrong. Because such a momentous occasion, Dasharatha Maharaj should be himself going and fetching Ram. But then he said, no, positive thinking. He said, no, maybe he's exhausted. No. He was very, sometimes some truth is so obvious, but we deny it. I once told one very senior Srila Prabhupada disciple that, this is wrong, this is happening wrong. And he looked at me and he said, "Yeah, it's wrong." And then the way he said it, he burst the bubble, And then he said, "Sometimes you have to accept the truth." So anyway, Sumantra was like, no, everything is okay. He's just tired. So he ran. So he went to Ram's palace. Now, Valmiki Rishi describes how Lord Ramchandra's palace was in Ayodhya. It was like Mount Kailash, beautiful. Its doors are 50 foot tall, huge, beautiful. And there are peacocks and cranes in the courtyard. And Ram was with Mother Sita. So Sumantra comes and calls Ram. And Ram, when he coming out, Lakshman is also there. And Ram and Lakshman come together. And as they are coming to Dasharatha Maharaj, to Kaikeyi's palace, Ram is convinced, Lakshman is convinced, everyone is thinking, now Dasharatha Maharaj has called and there is going to be installation, there is going to be initial ceremony now. And all the people, they line up the streets and they start showering flowers on Ram Lakshman, and people start declaring that today we will renounce all worldly happiness because we want to see Ram as Prince Regent. Even liberation is insignificant for us. And everyone's eyes and mind was fixed on Ram. And Dasharatha Maharaj, when he sees Ram has entered, and Ram is standing with his palms folded like this, waiting for his father's order. And when Dasharatha Maharaj sees that, he becomes so dejected. Tears come in his eyes. And he repeatedly starts sighing, "Ram, Ram," like that. And he looks like an eclipsed sun. And seeing Dasharatha Maharaj only say Ram and very sad, Ram becomes apprehensive. Lord Ram becomes like an ocean. It's said that an ocean gets agitated on a full moon night. So Lord Ram was agitated because for him his father was most worshipable. And he saw that Dasharatha Maharaj is very sad. He could understand that something is wrong. And then he looked at his mother Kaikeyi, who was standing nearby. He said, "Oh mother, why is our father in distress?" Meanwhile, Lord Ram had made Lakshman stand outside the door. He was alone with Dasharatha Maharaj and Kaikeyi. And he asked Mother Kaikeyi, "What is wrong with our father?" And Kaikeyi remained silent. She didn't say anything. And then Ram said, "Have I committed some offense?" Is that something wrong? And then he sensed that there could be something between Kaikeyi and Dasharatha Maharaj. So he said, is there some tension between you and father? Please tell me what is the cause of this distress. I am very eager to know. And now Kaikeyi, being very impudent and very selfish, she said, Ram, your father is neither distressed nor is he angry. But he has something in his mind which he wants to say. But he cannot disclose it because he has a fear of hurting you. He doesn't want to hurt you. And that is, he promised me something. But now he's repenting that he promised me. And like any other common man, he wants to retract what he promised me. He is an ever truthful monarch. But now he wants to build a dam across a stream when the water has already flown away. O Ram, please take care. Now your father, the mighty Dasharatha, is going to lose his honor and fame because you cannot fulfill his desire. So if you are willing to undertake whatever Maharaj Dasharatha wants, whether you like it or not, but if you are going to do it, then I shall explain to you why your father is sitting like this. So then immediately Ram says, please don't doubt my devotion to my father, O Mother Kaikeyi. At his command, that this very moment, I shall leap into a blazing fire. I shall swallow deadly poison or plunge into the depths of the ocean. So seeing, Kaikeyi becomes very confident that Ram is now, he is ready. And then Kaikeyi reveals. And as soon as she reveals the two boons which Dasharatha Maharaj has given her, Dasharatha Maharaj starts crying loudly, piteously. But Ram stands without any emotion. He is just standing. And then Kaikeyi tells Ram, O Ram, the ornament of your dynasty, make good your father's promise and deliver him from this most difficult and awkward situation. Immediately Ram says, yes, my dear mother, I agree. And he looks at his father, Maharaj Dasharatha. But Maharaj Dasharatha cannot return the glance because he's feeling too ashamed. He looks down. And then again Ram looks at Kaikeyi and says, I shall go. I shall immediately go and inform my mother Kaushalya, Lakshman, Sita, and shall proceed to the forest. And Kaikeyi becomes very shameless. She says, yes, Ram, right now, go right now. Do not be concerned with your father's crying and silence. He is silent because he is too shy. Leave immediately. But Dasharatha Maharaj is not able to bear. And he tries to catch Ram, but he falls. He falls on the couch. And Ram gently picks him up. As soon as Ram picks him up, Kaikeyi tells Ram, Ram, I told you, leave. Don't worry about your father. Leave the kingdom. And then Ram looks at Kaikeyi and says, my dear mother, I have no desire to live in this world as a slave to material desires. I don't want this kingdom. And he renounces it. And when Ram says, I don't want this kingdom, Dasharatha Maharaj starts weeping more loudly. But Ram just bows his head low, circumambulates his father Dasharatha Maharaj, then circumambulates mother Kaikeyi, and then he leaves. And when he goes out, Lakshman is standing, and he tells Lakshman what happened. And when Lakshman hears that Ram has been banished to the forest, Lakshman immediately starts crying, tears. And then Ram is going ahead fast, and Lakshman runs behind him and says, brother, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Mother Kaushalya's palace. So there, Lakshman is following, for they reach Mother Kaushalya's palace. So Ram tells Kaushalya the news. So now Mother Kaushalya is expecting Ram will be appointed as the prince regent. When she hears this news, just like a tree which is severed from its root, Mother Kaushalya just falls on the ground. She just falls. And Ram gently picks her up. And Mother Kaushalya, she is struck with agony, great pain. And then she starts realizing, but initially she says, no, Ram must be joking. And then she realizes Ram has never joked in his life. You know? He would never lie. Ram never lies. Then she realizes it's actually truth. What Ram is saying is true. So she clasps Ram's hands desperately. And she says, my dear son, for so many years I was childless. And I was going through so much pain because I didn't have a child. Finally you were born. And that pain ended. But now I am fearing that even greater suffering is going to come upon me because you are going to leave. This is the Karuna Ras, you know, we were talking about in the beginning. Mother Kaushalya is feeling intense pain of separation and she says, just like a cow will follow the calf, wherever the calf goes, I will follow you to the forest. Now, all this while, Lakshman was simply tolerating. He was very angry when he got the news. And when he sees Mother Kaushalya crying, he is unable to tolerate. Now, his rasa was slightly different. He expressed his sadness a little differently. And he started speaking very angrily. He said, I don't accept this decision of Maharaj Dasharath to banish Ram. I strongly say that Ram should not relinquish the kingdom. Our king has been perverted by the words of a woman. He has lost all sense of discrimination. He is overpowered by lust and old age. He has been urged by the sinful Kaikeyi. This is madness. Even Ram's enemies cannot find fault with him. How could Maharaj Dasharath find fault with him? And Lakshman's angry voice started resounding throughout the palace. And he said, I am going to take the kingdom by force. Let me see who stops me. Even if the whole kingdom of Ayodhya stops me, I will finish them off. And then he says something very shocking. He says, if my father has acted as an enemy, I will arrest him and kill him. Because the scriptures say that if the guru or the father deviates and loses his sense of discrimination, they can be rejected. And Lakshman starts breathing heavily. And then he looks at Mother Kaushalya and says, Mother, please know that if Ram enters blazing forest fire or he leaves the kingdom, know that I have already gone before him. Just as the sun dispels the morning mist, I shall dispel your sorrow. And he just starts screaming loudly. Now just visualize this scenario that Lakshman is very angry, shouting, and Ram is next to him, very calm and composed. Seeing this situation, Mother Kaushalya turns to Ram and she says, Ram, your brother has raised very valid points. This is very, very unjust of Kaikeyi to banish to the forest. Now tell me, Ram, you know the scriptures, because Kaushalya knew that Ram will never act against the scriptural codes. So she says, you know the scriptures. Don't you know that service to mother is higher than service to father? So if you don't listen to me and you go to the forest, I will fast unto death. And you will be guilty of killing your own mother. And then Ram says, beautiful answer. He says, my father's order is the order of the Supreme Lord. He is the king. And my dear mother, my father is not ordering me to do anything sinful. He is simply telling me to go to the forest. And that too for 14 years. Kaushalya is not able to say anything in return. Then Ram looks at Lakshman and says, Lakshman, he chastises Lakshman very gently. He says, Lakshman, I know that you are speaking out of love. But you should also know that our father's command is rooted in righteousness. It's virtue. And also I have given my word. I will not go back on my word. And then Kaushalya immediately says loudly, Ram, I shall not give you blessings to go to the forest. I don't care for my life. You cannot leave. And she starts wailing piteously. And then Ram becomes all the more eager and desperate to leave and escape from the kingdom. Because he's seeing they're all crying. And then he tells Mother Kaushalya and Lakshman, both of you are giving me a lot of pain. What happiness are you talking about? Happiness of living in this kingdom? Happiness in this world is relative and temporary. Only foolish people seek happiness in bodily relationships. And all the happiness of this world is only for a few moments. All association of friends and relatives is simply like sticks floating in a river. They are thrown together, and by the powerful swift current of time, they are again separated forever. What is our relationships? All our relationships are ephemeral. Temporary, my dear mother, my dear brother, please focus your mind on God, on Dharma. How can I give up righteousness simply because of attachment to kingdom? What is this kingdom? And then Mr. Ram is giving powerful logic and he's giving excellent explanations based on dharma. And then Ram declares that, don't you all realize that our father Dasharatha Maharaj is adhering to virtue even at the cost of his own happiness? He is so happy to see me as the king, but he is suffering intense pain and he is prepared to abandon his own son for the sake of truth. Don't you realize what a great soul Dasharatha Maharaj is? He gives a completely different perspective to the whole picture. And then he tells Kaushalya and Lakshman, both of you should stay here and serve our father. And then Ram looks at Lakshman. Lord Ram puts his hand on Lakshman's shoulder and then he says something very profound. He says, Lakshman, don't you realize something? Mother Kaikeyi has always loved me. She has never told me anything bad. And if she wants me to go to the forest, what does that mean? That means this is the will of providence. This is not Kaikeyi's fault. Don't get angry with Mother Kaikeyi. So Lord Ram, he had absolutely no anger towards Kaikeyi. Now this complete injustice going on, but he doesn't feel anything negative to Mother Kaikeyi. And then he tells Lakshman, Lakshman, no one can contend destiny. Destiny is all powerful. I am soon leaving for the forest. Lakshman, he goes through mood, you know, his mood changes. Sometimes he would feel extremely distressful that this injustice has happened. And then some moments he would feel very angry. And now suddenly again he becomes angry. And he says, my dear brother, I am surprised that you don't suspect the motives of Mother Kaikeyi and father. How can you not see? It is obvious. I can't accept fate as supreme. Only those who are cowards, they accept destiny as supreme. Today, I am going to dash everyone's hopes who is against you. And then Lakshman drew out his sword and started waving it in the air with great anger. And then he told Ram, Ram, you see my arms? These arms of mine are not simply to add to my attractiveness. This sword you are seeing is not simply an ornament on my body. And this bow and quiver of arrows is not some batches of honor bestowed upon me. They are all meant to crush the enemy. I am going to crush all of them. And very angrily Lakshman says, and after saying that he starts crying. And Ram silently wipes his tears. Because Ram knew that whatever Lakshman was speaking, he was speaking only out of pure love for Lord Ram. There is absolutely no malice. Now this rasa is different. Lakshman expresses his love like this. So Ram knew that he is not having any malice. So he wipes off his tears and both of them, because Lakshman also is crying because he's very angry, but he cries because he knows he's helpless. Ultimately he will not do anything which Ram doesn't want him to do. So they both share silence. They just stand there for some time. And then Lord Ram tells Mother Kaushalya, Mother, it is cruelty for a woman to abandon her husband, especially at the time when he is in great crisis. Please serve father and wait till I return. So Mother Kaushalya is also helpless because Lord Ram has shastrically and also with great logic, he explains to his mother how she should stay back and she should serve Emperor Dasharatha. So then Lord Ram goes to inform Mother Sita. And Sita, when she hears, she is shocked and dumbfounded. And the first thing she says is, I shall come to the forest with you. I cannot remain in Ayodhya. I shall walk before you. I shall clear all the sharp grasses and the thorns. Sita, Ram said, no, you have to stay because the forest is very bad. There are many animals. But Sita becomes more pained that Ram had not considered taking her to the forest. And then Lord Ram says, the forest is fraught with misery. There are thorny trees, there are huge lions, rakshasas, bees, and the rivers are filled with deadly alligators and ferocious aquatics. But Sita says, my dear Ram, you know the dharma, wife can never be separate from her husband. She can never be independent of her husband. And when I was a young girl, one astrologer had predicted that one day I will live in the forest. So this is now going to come true. And then Mother Sita speaks the duties of a chaste wife. Again, Ram tried to convince her to stay back. Finally, Mother Sita gives an argument which Ram is, after that he doesn't say anything more. She says, has my father Janak married me to a woman who is in the dress of a man? This is real chastisement, you know. She says, how can you not take me to the forest? And then she says, if you leave me behind, people will say that Ram is so irresponsible that he could not protect his own wife. Take me with you or let me give up my life here and now. And she's about to give up her life. And then Ram agrees because he loves Lakshman and Sita. And Mother Sita gives away all her jewels, all her garments. And then Lakshman comes to Ram crying. And he says, Ram, I'm coming with you to the forest. He doesn't ask permission. He just says, I'm coming with you. And Lord Ram says, no, take care of our mothers and father. And Lakshman immediately roars. He says, no, Bharat and Shatrughna will take care of all our mothers and father. And if they don't take care, if they become proud and arrogant because of getting the kingdom, then the sages will tell us in the forest, and I will immediately come back and punish both of them. So don't worry, I will come with you. So Ram sees that it is impossible to convince Lakshman not to come because Ram is also very attached to Lakshman. So Ram tells Lakshman, go to Vashishta's hermitage. Vashishta was living outside the kingdom. He was a minister and guru of Dasharath Maharaj, but he had a hut outside the kingdom. I have kept all my divine weapons there. We will need them in the forest. Go and get them. Lakshman becomes overjoyed that Ram is going to take him to the forest. Now it's time for farewell. So Lord Ram says, let us all go and take final darshan and blessings of Maharaj Dasharath and the mothers. So they all go to take the final blessings. Now as they walk, people are all standing on sides. Now by this time, the news has spread everywhere. So Ram, Lakshman and Sita are walking and people start screaming curses at Mother Kaikeyi. And they start saying, we will give up our homes and villages. We will go to the forest with pious Ram. Let us share his sorrows and joys. Let Kaikeyi rule over a deserted kingdom. And then they say, when we go to the forest will become a city. And after going there, we will drive out all the ferocious beasts and the deadly poisonous snakes from the forest. We will drive them away to the city of Ayodhya. And then Ayodhya will become a forest. And all these animals and snakes will live here with Kaikeyi as the protector. So like this, they start cursing Kaikeyi. Now meanwhile, Sumantra, they reach palace and Sumantra tells Maharaj Dasharath that, my dear king, Ram has distributed all his wealth. He is now standing before you for his final blessings and permission to leave. Now, everyone here is crying. Even Ram and Lakshman are crying. But only one person is unmoved, and that is Kaikeyi. So, finally Ram bows down to Dasharath Maharaj and says, please give us blessings. And when he asks for blessings, all eyes are now on Dasharath Maharaj. Because this is the final, they have come to take blessings. And Dasharath Maharaj says, my dear Ram, I have lost all good sense. I have just made some promise to Kaikeyi and I have lost all sense of discrimination. Oh Ram, please arrest me. Take me captive and rule over the kingdom. And Ram immediately says, my dear father, may you rule this kingdom and planet Earth for another 10,000 years. After a mere 14 years, I shall come back and again take shelter of your lotus feet. And Kaikeyi looks at Ram and Lakshman and Sita and she tells them, go immediately. And she is desperate that they leave. And Dasharath Maharaj embraces Ram and says, my dear Ram, may your journey be safe and happy. Please live with an undisturbed mind. Your willingness to accept this terrible order only proves how great you are. But please don't go today, go tomorrow. For one day, stay here and enjoy all the delights. And for one day, let me and Kaushalya keep looking at your beautiful form. So Ram, now he becomes very concerned because he didn't wish to delay even one moment. He wanted to leave immediately. And when father says, stay one more day, so Ram gives a very beautiful reply. He says, who will offer me tomorrow the delights I enjoyed today? Time has come for me to leave. Lord Ram feels deep sorrow to see his father in this condition. But he keeps his own emotions in check. And then he starts assuring his mothers and father Dasharath how he is going to enjoy in the forest. He starts saying how the forest has many beautiful fruits, variety of roots. And he starts describing all the scenery in the forest to give them hope that he is going to be happy in the forest. And finally, Dasharath Maharaj embraces Ram tightly and he falls unconscious. Now all this while, one person, now Sumantra, he was a minister. Minister's job is to keep quiet. He is not the one who can say anything. So all the while he was quiet. For so many years he has been loyally serving all the queens and Emperor Dasharath. But he is unable to control his emotions. And he starts speaking piercing words to Kaikeyi. His eyes are blazing with wrath. And he says to Kaikeyi, you are the murderer of your husband. You are the destroyer of the entire race. Shame on you. Oh Kaikeyi, I am wondering. It's a great wonder that the earth has not split and swallowed you. I am surprised that the sages have not cursed you. Give up your evil desires, oh Kaikeyi. Install Ram. Again, Kaikeyi is unmoved. She just looks at Sumantra as if nothing has happened. So you can see, Sumantra is also affected. Now Sumantra was a loyal minister of Dasharath. So when he gets affected, Dasharath Maharaj again gets animated. Dasharath Maharaj had completely lost hope. But when he sees Sumantra is charged, Dasharath Maharaj becomes animated. And he looks at Sumantra and says, yes Sumantra, prepare our army. We will all go to the forest with Ram. And tell all the merchants to open their shops in the forest. And tell all the workers to build roads to the forest. And let Ram go with thousands of servants to the forest. Let us give the entire treasury and granary. Let us transport it to the forest with Ram. He should have no austerity to endure in the forest. Now Kaikeyi becomes alarmed. And immediately she says, how can you give Bharat a kingdom that is stripped of all wealth? And then Dasharath shouts, oh vulgar woman, after handing me such a heavy burden, you are lashing me? I declare that I shall follow Ram to the forest and no one can stop me. I am the king. Now this is not a vow she had taken, though she can't do anything about it. So Dasharath is now going to go to the forest. Now who can, now what can be done? Now Ram solves the problem. Lord Ram looks at Dasharath Maharaj and says, my dear father, what is the use of an army and all the wealth when I have renounced the whole kingdom? If one has parted with an elephant but is still attached to the rope, then he is a great fool. So if I have renounced the whole kingdom, how can I take anything with me? Just give me tree barks and I shall take off my royal clothes and I shall wear these barks. And immediately Mother Kaikeyi, she becomes very happy. She was waiting for this moment because she had already prepared 3 sets of tree barks. She becomes very gladdened and she says, yes, Ram, Lakshman, Sita, I have the dress ready for you. And she gives. And Ram and Lakshman immediately they put on the tree barks. But Mother Sita, she is perplexed. She tries and unsuccessful in her attempts to put on this forest clothes. And she turns to Ram with tears and she says, my dear Lord, how does one put on this? And then Ram helps her put on the tree barks. And then, as Mother Sita is dressed in the tree barks, all her servants start crying. And they tell Ram, oh dear Ram, please leave Sita with us here so that we can serve her and always see her divine form. Now all this while, one person was equipoised completely along with Ram. Ram was the only one. along with Ram, who was the other one, was completely detached, was Vasishtha Rishi. Because Vasishtha is the guru and he was very renounced. He was living outside the kingdom. But he is also overwhelmed with emotion. He is not able to hold his emotions. And he looks at Kaikeyi and says, "O cruel woman, don't you have any shame? After deceiving the king and bringing disgrace to your family, you are still not satisfied? Sita is your daughter-in-law. You should decorate her with the best jewels." And then Vasishtha says, "And you are giving them tree barks?" Vasishtha loved Ram and Lakshman and Sita as his own children. And now he gives very powerful logic. He says, "Wife is the husband's own self. So Ram has been banished to the kingdom, let him go. But Sita will rule over the kingdom. And let me tell you, Kaikeyi, you are giving tree barks to Ram, Lakshman and Sita. When Bharat and Shatrughna come, they will also wear tree barks. And please know, every one of us will go to the forest with Ram. And you will remain here only with the trees, because trees cannot move. They cannot follow Ram. And you stay here with the trees." So like this, a lot of emotions are churned in the palace. Ram finally folds his hands, palms, and he takes blessings. And he tells, "Please forgive if I have committed any offenses." And he falls at the feet of all his mothers and father. And he leaves. And now Sumantra, he picks up the reins of the chariot. It's a golden chariot. And the chariot starts moving with thunderous rumbling. And all old people, young people, everyone rushes towards the chariot. Just like, you know, people who are stuck in the desert will rush towards water. They all rush. And they all start shouting to Sumantra, "Hold fast the reins. Go slow." And Ram tells Sumantra, "Go fast." And people tell Sumantra, "Go slow." And Sumantra is in big turmoil. And the chariot is going little slow. And suddenly, after some time, Lord Ram starts hearing his father's voice. He hears Dasharatha's voice and he looks behind and he sees that Dasharatha Maharaj is struggling to run and he's being held by Mother Kaushalya and he's running towards the chariot, making through the crowd. You know, he's making way through the crowd and rushing towards the chariot. And Ram is filled with emotion, but immediately looks in the front, looks at Sumantra and says, "Sumantra, go fast." And Sumantra becomes very, very perplexed because he hears Dasharatha Maharaj's voice from behind. Dasharatha Maharaj is shouting, "Sumantra, come back! Ram, come back!" He's not able to. He's really shouting. But Sumantra wants to stop because he's a loyal minister, servant of his king. At the same time, he's also attached to Ram. But Ram is telling him, "Go fast." Then Ram takes a deep breath and says, "Sumantra, pain should not be prolonged. Go fast. Before father reaches here, go fast. And if later when you return, if Dasharatha Maharaj chastises you, just tell him you did not hear him." And now the chariot speeds up. But as the chariot is speeding up, Dasharatha runs. And he is not able to keep up. And eventually he falls on the ground. And he keeps focusing on the chariot, then on the dust raised by the wheels of the chariot. Finally he loses sight and falls unconscious. Kaushalya and Kaikeyi come and they pick up Dasharatha Maharaj. And as soon as he sees Kaikeyi, Dasharatha Maharaj shouts, "Do not touch me, O sinful woman. I shun and reject you today. And if your son Bharat also is attached to the kingdom, I reject him also." And Dasharatha Maharaj just covers his face with shame. He feels so shameful. And he walks back slowly with Kaushalya. And as he walks towards his palace, he sees that all the shops in Ayodhya are closed. All the streets are deserted. And then he comes to the palace. Alone, he's lying on the couch. And Kaushalya is weeping. And Sumitra, the mother of Lakshman, comes and consoles Kaushalya. And both of them are long time, they are lost in thought of Ram. And nearby, Maharaj Dasharatha is lying on the couch, almost unconscious, and repeatedly just murmuring, "Ram, Ram." That's the only sound is coming out of his mouth. Meanwhile, thousands of people are following Ram to the forest. And after going a long distance, finally Ram stops the chariot And he looks at all the citizens of Ayodhya and he says, all of you have shown great love for me. But now I beg you, the same love, I beg you, please bestow the same affection on Bharat. Because he is the next king. He is the king. But people, they don't respond to Ram's request. They just keep looking at him and crying. And again Ram begins the journey. But this time what happens? There are old Brahmins also who had accompanied. And they become so emotional, they start crying. They start saying, oh, the horses, all of you are so beautiful. But and you have excellent ears. But can't you hear our plea? We are begging you, stop. Bring Ram back to Ayodhya. And Ram sees these old Brahmins are also running and begging. So he feels compassion for the Brahmins. And he gets down from the chariot. And Lakshman and Sita also get down. And Sumantra alone is driving the chariot. And Ram starts walking on the foot with the Brahmins because he doesn't want to ride while the elderly Brahmanas were walking. And although his heart was breaking to see the anguish of all the citizens of Ayodhya, especially the Brahmins, but still Ram doesn't look at them. He just keeps looking straight ahead and he keeps walking completely detached. And finally, as they reach the banks of Tamasa River, it's night and they take rest there. And in the middle of the night, Ram wakes up Lakshman and tells him, there is no possibility of convincing any of them not to follow us. Now is the best time to leave. See, they are all sleeping. Can you see Lakshman? Look at, just see Ram's compassion. Just see his soft-heartedness. He tells Lakshman, Lakshman, just see the citizens of Ayodhya. They are all lying on the bare ground. Just for us, they are enduring so much austerity. Let us not cause more pain to them. Let us leave. And immediately Ram wakes up Sita. Lakshman wakes up Sumantra. And Sumantra is an expert chariot driver. They drive swiftly and they leave the place. And morning, when people wake up, they are devastated. They are shocked. And they curse themselves for sleeping. Why did we sleep in ignorance? Ram, Sita and Lakshman have left. What to do? And they are, as they are lamenting, one man, one citizen who had accompanied, he sees huge logs of wood nearby. He says, oh, there are so many logs of wood. Let us get this wood. Let us pile them up. And let us make a funeral pyre. And let us all enter it. Because what is the use of living when Ram is not there? And then another man says, oh, see, look at the trail of the chariot wheels. We can see where the chariot is going. Let us follow. We will catch Ram. So they all start following. But what happens? Sumantra, Ram had told Sumantra to go in a zigzag way through different paths. So Sumantra was an expert chariot driver. So after some time, all the citizens of Ayodhya, they lose track. They are not able to understand where Ram has gone. And then they realize it's hopeless. And gradually, very reluctantly, they all come back to Ayodhya. They are very depressed and they are in utter despair. But when they come back to Ayodhya, they are not able to even distinguish who are their relatives. They can't even recognize their own homes. You know, just like, it's interesting, just like Krishna left Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindavan, to go to the city of Mathura. And he caused immense separation, transcendental loving separation feelings he caused to the residents of Vrindavan. Here Lord Ram is leaving the city of Ayodhya to go to the forest. And he's also causing intense churning of emotions in the hearts of the residents of Ayodhya. And as they come back, they are so confused. They enter the wrong homes. And then they go to their homes. And in many of the houses, the wives had stayed back. And the wives look at the men and they start chastising them. They say, why did you return without Ram? It seems Lakshman is the only virtuous man who has followed Lord Ram to serve him. So like this, there is utter devastation in Ayodhya. Meanwhile, Lord Ram is proceeding ahead and they meet Gua, who was the Nishadha king, who was coming to Ayodhya every year to pay the annual taxes, and Ram had become good friends with him. So when Gua sees Ram, Lakshman and Sita, he becomes very happy and he offers the royal hospitality. He gets varieties of food and drinks to serve Ram. But Ram doesn't take anything. He says, feed all of this to my horses. And he takes only water and all the chappan bhog for the horses. And then Gua and Lakshman make a nice bed for Ram and Sita, and Ram and Sita take rest. And nearby, Lakshman and Gua, they stay awake discussing about Lord Ram. And next morning, Ram tells Sumantra, please leave. You have been a great friend and loyal to our kingdom, but now I beg you, please leave. And Sumantra immediately falls on the ground, clasps Lord Ram's feet and says, please let me come to the forest with you. And Ram says, I am satisfied with your devotion, but I am telling you to go because Kaikeyi will not be satisfied unless she sees the chariot back. And if the chariot has not returned without me, then Bharat will never be coronated. And I want Bharat to be installed. So please go back. And very tearfully, Sumantra leaves. And after Sumantra leaves, Ram tells Gua, get me the sap of the banyan tree. Now sap, you can't drink it, you can't use it for any purpose. And everybody is wondering why Ram is asking for the sap. And then Gua gets the sap of the banyan tree and Ram takes it. And what does he do? He mats his hair. And he takes the vow of an ascetic for the next 14 years. And then they reach the bank of Ganges and there is a boatman, Kevat. And this boatman, Ram requests him, please take me across the Ganga. And the boatman immediately refuses. He says, no, I cannot take you. Now this is very interesting. Now all the demigods want blessings from Lord Ram. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is begging from an insignificant boatman, please take me across. And he refuses. And Ram says, why? We have to go across the river Ganga. Please take us. He says, no, I cannot because I know the power of the dust of your lotus feet. I have heard that simply by the dust of your lotus feet, a stone was turned into Ahalya. Now, in the Balkand, we will hear today evening, when Lord Ram went to Gautam Rishi's ashram, by just the touch of his lotus feet, his dust fell on the stone and that Ahalya came back. She was cursed to be a stone. So this boatman is using this logic. He says, the dust of your lotus feet, if it falls on my boat may turn into a woman. And then I may have to keep her. Boat is gone. My boat is gone. My income is gone. My expenditure will increase. So Lord Ram understands the innocence and the sweetness of this boatman. And the Kevat says, so I cannot take you across. You have to allow me to clear off all the dust from your feet. Only then, so I want to wash your feet. So Lord Ram, understanding the sweet mood of the boatman, he agrees. He says, okay, you can wash my feet. For then what the Kevat does? He rushes, he runs away. Ram says, why are you running? I have allowed you to wash my feet. He says, no, I am going to my home. I will call all my relatives, all my family members, they should get this fortune. So he comes with a wooden bowl. And he starts washing the feet of Lord Ram with the water of Ganga. And then that Kevat's wife says, "Arey, why are you using a wooden bowl? You should use a gold bowl or a silver bowl. It's the Supreme Lord's lotus feet we are washing." And the Kevat smiles. He says, no, wooden bowl is best because wood will soak the water. So this wood will always contain the Charanamrut of Lord Ram. And then we can use this also for cooking. So every time we'll get prasad only. This is the best. And with great joy, he bathes the lotus feet of Lord Ram, gives Charanamrut to all his family members, and with deep gratitude, he takes Sita Ram and Lakshman across the river Ganga. And as they reach the other side, Mother Sita gives a ring to Ram to give to Kevat. And as Lord Ram gives that ring as a token of thanks, Kevat refuses. Ram says, no, you helped us cross the river. This is a small prize we are giving you. And immediately he says, no, my dear Lord, what service did I do? I simply took you across the river. But you are taking thousands and millions of souls across the ocean of birth and death. You are taking us across the ocean of samsara. So I beg you for one benediction. Please release me from this cycle of birth and death and give me shelter at your lotus feet. Lord Ram is very touched by Kevat's devotion and his pure devotional service. And he insists, no, you should take something. When finally Ram insists that he should take something, the Kevat says, okay, then you please give me one benediction. that when you come back this way after your exile, please give me another chance to take you across. For this is pure devotional service. Not wanting anything from the Lord except wanting to serve. Then Sita, Ram and Lakshman enter deep forest. And there Ram sits on the ground and Lord Ram breaks down. He starts crying. He says, I am ungrateful and an useless son. I have brought great distress to my family members. This is in deep humility Lord Ram is crying. And Lakshman and Mother Sita console him. And finally, they go to Bharadwaj Rishi's ashram. And Bharadwaj Rishi is so happy. He tells Ram that please stay here for the next 14 years. Let this be your exile stay. And Lord Ram says, this is very close to Ayodhya. People will know. Please suggest some other place. Then Bharadwaj Rishi says, very close, 50 miles away, there is a beautiful mountain of Chitrakoot. Please stay there. So they go to Chitrakoot. And there, who is there? Valmiki Muni is there. And Valmiki Muni is very happy to receive Lord Ram. And he tells his own story, how he was a hunter. And he used to kill animals ruthlessly. And Narad Muni tells him that you are killing and you are incurring so much sin and you are doing it for your family, you say? Just go and ask your family members, will they share the karma, the sinful karma of yours? So when Valmiki goes and asks them, they refuse. So then Valmiki gets disgusted with them and he renounces. And then Narad Muni tells him to chant the name of Lord Ram, but because of his sinful life, he's so sinful that he's not able to chant Ram's name. And so Valmiki is recollecting this. He could only say Mara. So Narad Muni tells him to chant Ulta of Ram, that is Mara. So once I was hearing a lecture, Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying, please understand that this is Treta Yuga. In Treta Yuga, everyone was pious and spiritual. And it was so easy for anybody to be a devotee. And in Treta Yuga, someone is so sinful that he cannot say Ram's name. What must be his level? And he chants Mara. And then you ask Maharaj was saying how, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did this. People are angry. Brahmins are angry that you are giving Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Mahaprabhu chanted Ulta. So similarly, Valmiki chanted Mara, 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 Ram, Ram. So that Mara became eventually Ram. This is the power of the holy names. So Valmiki reveals this. And then northern direction of Chitrakoot mountain, there Lakshman makes a beautiful cottage for Ram and Sita. And Lakshman never slept for 14 years. He was always doing seva. And for Ram Bhaktas, Chitrakoot is like Vrindavan for Krishna Bhaktas. Just like Vrindavan is the place where Krishna performed his most beautiful pastimes, Chitrakoot is the place where Ram, Sita stayed and they performed so many pastimes. Now meanwhile, Sumantra has come back to Ayodhya and he gives a report. And Dasharath Maharaj, he tells Sumantra, have you really returned without Ram? And Sumantra says, yes. As I was yoking the horses to return back, the horses remained stationary. The horses were shedding tears of grief. And with great difficulty, we have all returned. Now Dasharath Maharaj, he was all the while hoping against hope that somehow Sumantra would come back with Ram, Lakshman and Sita. And seeing this, Kaushalya became so grief-stricken. Kaushalya started chastising Dasharath Maharaj. You have done injustice. And as he starts chastising, Dasharath Maharaj breaks down and he begs at Kaushalya. He begs to Kaushalya. He says, please don't chastise me. Please be kind to me. I am completely grief-stricken and you are my only hope now. And Kaushalya immediately, she feels very sorry that she is chastising Dasharath Maharaj. And she begs forgiveness. Dasharath is comforted, but then Dasharath speaks beautiful poetic verses. You know, he says, he compares himself, he condemns himself and he says, I am like a man who has cut a mango tree because the flowers of the mango tree are not very attractive. Not the fruits, the flowers. And just when the mangoes were ripe, about to get ripe, he cut down the mango tree and instead he grew a palasha tree because the palasha tree has beautiful flowers. But in due course of time, the palasha tree's bitter fruits bore fruit Similarly, by sending Ram away, I have cut down a mango grove, just as it was about to bear fruit, and now I am tasting the bitter palasha. So like that, he condemns how he let Ram go away. I had Ram with me, but I lost it. This is the mood of separation. Like our Acharya is also saying, Vishaya Vishama Visha Satata Kainu Gaur Kirtana Rase Maganana. I am literally drinking poison. I've given up the service to Lord. Janiya Shuniya Visha Kain. So like that, Dasharatha Maharaj is praying. And then he says, then he reveals how as a young warrior, he was expert in shooting arrows. He could know from the sound where the prey, the animal is, and he would shoot. So he reveals how once when he was hunting, he heard sound. He thought an animal is drinking water and he shot an arrow. And that was a young ascetic boy who was filling his pitcher with water to carry for his blind parents whom he was taking on a yatra. And then when the boy was dying and he screamed, Dasharatha Maharaj realized that he had shot a young boy and he ran to him. And this boy said, how could you shoot me? How could you kill me like this? Because my elderly parents are depending on me. They are blind. And Dasharatha Maharaj feels extremely sorry. And then he takes the boy to the parents. He reveals his mistake. He says, I am sinful person. I have killed your son. And that father of the child, that boy says that you have given us so much grief. Our son has died. And if you had not told us, just when I would have realized that my son has died, your head would have broken into pieces because of my anger. But you have killed our son out of innocence, ignorance. But still it is giving me so much grief. And then the old parents, they die in separation from their son. And while dying, this old man tells Dasharatha Maharaj, just like I am feeling intense separation from my son, you will also die feeling separation from your son. So Dasharatha Maharaj recollects this and just crying the name of Ram, intensely is crying the name of Ram, he leaves his body. And then there is complete despair and gloom in Ayodhya. Because Ram has left and Dasharatha has also now left his body. And immediately the news is sent for Bharat to return. Bharat gets bad dreams and he realizes there is something wrong. And he comes rushing to Ayodhya with Shatrughna. But when they come, they see all the shops are closed. All the roads are dusty, desolate. And then he rushes to Mother Kaikeyi's palace and says, my dear mother, where is father? Where is Ram? And Kaikeyi, possessed by greed, she spoke about the terrible news of death of Maharaj Dasharatha as if this news was agreeable and pleasant. She says, Bharat, your father is dead and the kingdom is yours. And Bharat, he looks in complete disbelief. He falls to his knees and says, alas, I am ruined. And he lies on the floor and starts crying. And Kaikeyi goes to him and says, oh Bharat, get up, O king. The whole earth is awaiting your rule. Bharat starts weeping. He starts remembering his father's affection and the stories Maharaj Dasharatha would tell him when he was a young boy. And then he says, I came here swiftly to Ayodhya thinking that our father is going to install Ram as the prince regent. But I see neither father here nor Ram here. My dear mother, what disease was my father suffering from? Ram and Lakshman are so fortunate that they could perform the last rites for our father. I wish to hear and meet Ram. And Kaikeyi, in a very straightforward face, as a matter of fact, she says, Ram has gone to the forest for 14 years with Lakshman and Sita. And Bharat immediately says, what? What crime did he commit? Now Kaikeyi had completely misunderstood Bharat. Out of ignorance, she had imagined that Bharat would be very pleased to hear that Ram has gone and he has become, because she was only imagining all this while. But still she was smiling. Kaikeyi was smiling, hoping that Bharat will appreciate. So she says, she reveals those two boons which she had taken from Dasharatha Maharaj. And then she says, so Bharat, I assure you now the throne is yours. And Bharat could not believe. And he looks at Kaikeyi and says, have you gone mad? And he covers his face and slowly shakes his head and says, oh cruel woman, You have heaped calamity upon calamity. And then, in great anger, he says, your actions are unforgivable. You have appeared in our family as the night of universal dissolution. What impelled you to exile Ram? And as Bharat starts screaming, Kaikeyi becomes so aghast, and for the first time in all these days, Kaikeyi is on the defensive. She immediately becomes defensive, and in desperation she reveals why she banished Ram. And she candidly points out that Mantara, she told me all this. But my dear son, I acted like this only in your interest. I wanted you to be the king. And Bharat immediately says, I am ashamed of you. What on earth has possessed you? Don't you know that Ram loved you more than I loved you? Immediately we will go to the forest and get Ram back. And then he told Kaikeyi, you will always reside in hell. I desert you. You are neither my mother, nor are you the wife of the emperor. You are undoubtedly a wicked Rakshasi who has assumed the form of my mother. You should enter fire. This is the only solution for you, only remedy for you. Or take poison, or you yourself should go to the forest. And then Bharat Maharaj said, Ram is not here. My father is passed away. He runs to Mother Kaushalya's palace. And when he runs to Mother Kaushalya, she looks at Bharat and says, oh Bharat, you may now enjoy the kingdom. Your plan is successful. You can now rule the earth. And when Bharat hears this, he falls at her feet and begs forgiveness and cries and explains how this was not his doing. And Kaushalya is pacified. And next day is the funeral. And 12th day, all the programs are done and the charity is given. And Shatrughna is in great lamentation. Shatrughna says, a fierce and formidable ocean of grief has been unleashed by Mantara. Kaikeyi's boons are the waves of this ocean, and her words are the sharks. Alas, this ocean has swept Ayodhya. I can't understand why Lakshman did not stop Maharaj Dasharath. Why did not stop Lord Ram? And as he was lamenting, just then Shatrughna's eyes fell upon Mantara. She was walking on the side, dressed in very beautiful jewelry and ornaments, and she was beaming. And Shatrughna could not tolerate. And he said, here is that cruel wretch. Today she will reap the fruits of her sinful activity. And Shatrughna runs, tightly drags her by the hair, throws her down, kicks her, pounds her. And she starts shrieking and she runs to Kaikeyi for help. Kaikeyi, help me, help me. And Kaikeyi looks at Bharat. Oh Bharat, please stop Shatrughna. Bharat doesn't even look at his mother. And Bharat tells Shatrughna, Shatrughna, forgive her. And then Bharat says something very heavy. He says, Shatrughna, please forgive her, leave her alone because she is a woman. And I would have killed my own mother. But I know that this won't be pleasing to Ram. So when Kaikeyi hears this, she is completely shattered. She is shaken to the core and she becomes very thoughtful. Because all her hopes were on Bharat. And she says, yes, my husband was right. I always loved Ram. What happened to me? How did I get so bewildered? And then she looks at Mantara. But she doesn't get angry with Mantara. She takes the full responsibility. She says, she has not done anything wrong. And then she says, I have done injustice. And she starts lamenting. Finally, the 14th day is over. And all the ministers headed by Vasishta, they come to Bharat and tell him, oh Bharat, please take the throne and there will be no sin if you become the king because the kingdom needs a king. And Bharat, what he does? He gets up, walks towards the royal throne and circumambulates it and says, I shall never accept the throne. Let's all go to the forest and bring Ram back. And everyone becomes enlivened at this prospect that they are going to get Ram back, and Bharat really means it. And he calls all the expert engineers and architects and he tells them, construct a road to the forest. And within 1 month, they complete all the roads and they go to the forest to get Ram. And when they are going, they meet Gua. And Gua, he thinks, Bharat is coming, maybe he is coming to attack Ram. So Gua tells Bharat, I hope you have come not intending any harm to Ram. And when Guha says, his breath breaks down, he says, no. And he says, may that time never come when any sort of wicked thought about Ram enters my heart. And Guha also cries tears to see the sincerity of Bharat. And then Guha tells him what all happened. And when Bharat hears that Ram took that sap of the banyan tree, Bharat also tells Guha, get me the sap of the banyan tree. And he takes that sap and he also mats the hair. And he says, till Ram comes back, I will also perform tapasya. And then they go to Bharadwaj Muni's ashram. And Bharadwaj Rishi sees Bharat and he says, you are the king, O Bharat. I hope you have not come to the forest to cause harm to Ram. And again Bharat cries. He says, I am ruined. I can't even dream of causing harm to Ram. Ram is a ruler. Now I don't have a father. Ram is my father. I have come to take shelter of my father and ruler. And Bharadwaj Rishi is very happy with the sincerity of Bharat. And he has special powers by which he arranges a huge hospitality for the entire army of Bharat. And then Bharadwaj Rishi, Guha's spice had also gone all around. And Bharadwaj also tells Bharat that Ram is living in Chitrakoot on the northern side. And there, before leaving, Bharat introduces all the queens, all the mothers to Bharadwaj Rishi. And while introducing Kaikeyi, he tells the Rishi that it's because of her intrigue that we have lost Ram to the forest. And he starts cursing his mother. And Bharadwaj Rishi gently chastises Bharat. He says, do not speak like this, O prince of your mother. Please know that she is not guilty. Ram's banishment will do good for the universe. This is arrangement of the providence. Bharat feels very sorry. He seeks blessings from Bharadwaj Rishi and they all go to Chitrakoot. And as they reach Chitrakoot, Ram sees a cloud of dust is raised because Bharat goes to the forest with a huge army. And then he tells Lakshman, just see who these people are, what is happening. So Lakshman climbs a tall tree and he says, Ram, immediately take Sita to a cave. A huge army is coming. Let us face them. And Ram immediately says, Lakshman, just see the flag, the symbol on the flag. And Lakshman sees carefully and he says, Ram, this is a Kovidara tree, which is the ensign of Dasharatha Maharaj. This is Bharat's army. Today, it is my great fortune that I am going to kill both Bharat and Kaikeyi. Then I will repay my debt to my weapons. They are coming to kill you, O Ram, and I want to protect you. Ram turns to Bharat and says, Bharat, these sentiments do not befit you. He has come because he is overwhelmed with affection for me. He has come to bring me back. I cannot even imagine Bharat ever harming me, even in his mind. If he has offended you in the past, is that why you are so angry? And if you are set upon his slaughter, I shall order him to hand over the kingdom to you, and he will remain here and you rule over the earth. And Lakshman becomes very ashamed and he shrank with shame and he begs forgiveness. And Bharat and Shatrughna come, they run, they fall at the lotus feet of Lord Ram, and then they tell about Dasharatha Maharaj's departure. And Ram, when he hears his father has left, he cries and falls on the ground, and then they offer oblations in the river. And finally now Bharat starts giving excellent arguments to Ram to come back. And these are powerful arguments. First thing Bharat says, Ram, you wanted to satisfy Maharaj Dasharatha, your father and mother Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi is satisfied. She is satisfied. She has got her boons and she has given me the kingdom. And I am the king. The kingdom is mine. And I hereby give this kingdom to you. O Ram, please accept this kingdom and we have come to take the three of you back to Ayodhya. The power to rule earth rests only in you, O Ram. I cannot take your place just as a donkey cannot replace a horse, or a crow cannot take the place of Garuda. And everyone there, they start shouting, well said Bharat, well said. We will all go with Ram. And Ram then gives a beautiful, beautiful discourse on the power of time and providence. And he explains how we should all live by dharma. and follow the footsteps of virtuous and righteous people and not be controlled by passions and desires for wealth and kingdom. And this for sadhaka, this is very important. You know, these instructions are very powerful. And he explains how everyone and everything is going to be washed away by the power of time. Actually, you know, when I think our one Srila Prabhupada disciple was once explaining how in Srimad Bhagavatam also, you know, we have so many names of kings, so many names, and they're all pure devotees. And they rule the whole earth. So he was saying that these names are given in the Bhagavatam so that we can just chant those names and get purified. But there is another purpose why these names are given, to make us understand that each one of these names are of kings who ruled the whole earth for thousands and millions of years, and now they are only names. Even they have gone from this planet earth. So like that, Ram is explaining to Bharat that, you know, and as Ram was speaking this discourse for almost an hour, there was complete silence, and the only sound that was heard was the rustling of the leaves in the breeze and the flow of the river. And we know that no one can argue with Ram. Ram is perfect. But Bharat was not going to give up. He is desperate to take Ram. So he gives an argument. He says, Ram, our mother has acted in a wicked way and father was infatuated. Now tell me from the scriptures, is it not the duty of the son to correct the mistakes of his father? Even this proper dharma, all the people in our kingdom need your protection. If you don't come, I will stay by your side. And Bharat sat with his head bowed. And everyone was enthralled by this conversation that was going on. And they were enthralled and they were simultaneously joyful to witness this event. And then Ram says, his entire life our father Dasharath Maharaj was pious. When he married, he promised Kaikeyi's father that her son would inherit the kingdom. And also, I have given a vow. And now he has ordered me. So you have to become the king. So both of you should return. So as the arguments are going back and forth, there was one Brahmin there, Jabali. Now Jabali, he was a pakka Brahmin, he knew all the scriptures and he loved Ram. But in desperation to get Ram back and seeing that Ram is not listening, he started giving atheistic arguments. He said, what scriptures are you quoting, Ram? Scriptures are useless. Scriptures are given by intelligent Brahmanas who wanted to assure their livelihood. The goal of life is just to enjoy. Come back to Ayodhya and enjoy. And actually, as he was giving these arguments, no one there was accepting what Jabali was saying. But yet they were all hoping that his arguments would be so powerful that Ram would be convinced to return. And then Jabali says, happiness is only in what you experience now, right now. And Ram gently refutes all the arguments. He says, Jabali, any act done out of lust or greed will only bring about ruination. And his eyes became red with anger. And he said, oh, atheistic one, if I follow your proposal, the whole world will be ruined. And Jabali, he started crying. And he said, please, O Ram, return back to the kingdom. Then his main agenda he spoke later, after giving all the arguments. And Vashishta was there. He saw that Jabali is crying and begging Ram to return. And Jabali clarifies to Ram. He says, Ram, he loves you. And that's why he wants you to return. And Ram smiles at Jabali, approvingly. In the sense, he accepts, he acknowledges and he accepts his love. And then the final argument is given by Vashishta. Now Vashishta is, he is the guru. And he says, oh Ram, I order you to return. Because I am your guru. And guru's order is even more worthy of obedience than the order of father. And not only that, I am the guru of your father also. So I order you and I command you to return. Now this is an argument you cannot defeat. But Lord Ram, he bows his head and he says, my father, he loved me so much. And he has done so much for me. As a small service, in return for his love, I want to spend just 14 years in the forest. Vashishta cannot say anything on this. And Bharat immediately jumps up. He grabs a bunch of grass and he exclaims, I shall not move from this place until Ram returns back to Ayodhya. And Ram immediately says, Bharat, your duty is not to be a Brahmin. You are a Kshatriya. Rule the kingdom. And then Bharat turns to all the others. And he says, why don't you all plead with my brother to return? And the Brahmins, they tell Bharat, what can we do? We have tried our best. We can't dissuade him. And then Bharat says, Ram, I shall stay in your place. You go back to the kingdom. And Ram immediately says, one's promise cannot be fulfilled by another person. And finally, Ram, seeing the desperation, he says, yes, I promise I will return, but not now, after 14 years. But till 14 years, I won't return. And Bharat is also insisting. At that time, divine beings, the demigods, they appear visible only to the four brothers. And they appeal to Bharat, please allow Ram to remain in the forest. And they tell how there is a divine plan. And encouraged by the demigods, Bharat is prepared to accept the responsibility of ruling Ayodhya. But what he does, he takes a pair of ornate wooden sandals, which is embellished with gold, and he puts it down and he says, Lord Ram, I cannot rule over Ayodhya. If you are not coming, your sandals will rule. Your footwear will rule. And Ram immediately puts on those sandals and then he immediately takes his feet out. And then Bharat takes those footwear of Lord Ram, puts it on his head. And then that sandals of Lord Ram is put on that beautiful white elephant with a royal umbrella over those sandals. And those sandals are then carried back to Ayodhya. And Bharat does not stay in Ayodhya. He does more austerities than Ram. He stays outside Ayodhya at Nandigram. And there he makes a small hut. And he eats only barley soaked in cow urine for 14 years. That was his only diet. At least Ram was having variety. You know, you would get different roots, fruits. But Bharat performed so much austerity. So this is high class integrity we see in Ramayana. Actually, integrity means the ability to live by, you know, high ethical, moral and spiritual principles. And for sadhakas, those who are doing Vaidya Sadhana Bhakti, it's not easy. Temptations will be waging daily. It's a battle, everyday battle in our mind and senses, every day. And therefore, it appears very discouraging to live by high standards. It appears like that. But we should know that the rewards are very high. Actually, two rewards are 100% guaranteed if we can somehow live by high principles. One is deep spiritual happiness. And a tremendous second is a tremendous sense of self-worth, a feeling of worth. Of course, occasionally some, you know, devotees may slip, but integrity is not determined by, you know, your slipping. Integrity is determined by our aspiration, by our willingness to fight this battle, not give up. Because this is what attracts the grace of the Lord. The desire to live by higher standards of Krishna consciousness attracts. And then with those profuse blessings, we can actually march forward in Krishna consciousness. And especially those who are in leadership positions, integrity is the most important quality. I visit our Kadam Kanan Swami Maharaj's blog. You know, he has one whole section called Living with the Vows. So we all take vows in spiritual life. And Lord Ram and Bharat are teaching us what it is to live by high integrity. Bharat is no less. In fact, Bharat's character and integrity is so exalted. His renunciation is most exemplary because he took the service of ruling over Ayodhya without taking any of the position and perks. Generally, if we take responsibility, we get attached to all the enjoyment. And sometimes when we renounce, we get irresponsible, you know. There are two extremes we go. In the name of renunciation, we may become irresponsible. And in the name of responsibility, we may become very attached. But Bharat is an amazing leader. Complete responsibility has taken, but completely detached. Actually, Bharat's character is the most exalted in Ramayana. In the year 2000, we went to Chitrakoot Yatra. Actually, we were going to Kumbh Mela with Govind Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu, Shamanand Prabhu. Some 10, 15 brahmacharis were there. So first we went to Chitrakoot. And there we went to one place where one Babaji was there. And he, you know, was serving water. And we were talking in English amongst ourselves. And then he started talking to us. And then we came to know I thought he's some old Babaji, illiterate, doesn't know anything, just serving there. We came to know that he took early retirement. He was an IAS officer. And last 25 years, he's serving there and he's completely attached to Bharat. And he was only singing glories of Bharat, you know, how Bharat is exemplary and he was glorifying Bharat. Then we realized that how there are, especially in Chitrakoot, you will find so many devotees of Lord Ram, Lord of Bharat. And Srila Prabhupada also emphasizing on this quality of integrity and exemplary leadership. He installed DTs of Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman in Washington, D.C. And Washington is the capital of America. And America is ruling the, not ruling, but America is a superpower. America influences the world. So Srila Prabhupada was teaching how, this is the purport given by Zolina Radhana Swami Maharaj. He very nicely was explaining once how Srila Prabhupada established Sita Ram, Lakshman DTs in Washington temple to teach the world how ideal governance has to be there based on high integrity. And then Maharaj went on to explain how Prabhupada established Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman also in the capital of United Kingdom, London. Because where governance is, where leadership is, they should follow ideal standards. And then he said, even the capital of India, New Delhi, there is Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman DTs. And then the financial capital of India, Mumbai, in Juhu, we have Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman DTs. Basically leadership, Ramayana is about, it's actually leadership manual, you know. Leadership means sacrifice, not enjoyment. So that is very clearly visible in Ramayana. And when, some years ago when one of the India's richest man died, he's actually the richest man in India, when he died, the whole media was telling, because his two sons were fighting over the property, sharing of the, so the whole media was saying, oh, you two brothers, you should live like Ram and Bharat. And everyone was talking, you know, they should not fight over the property. But people were glorifying Ram and Bharat and imploring these two brothers to live like Ram and Bharat, not because they wanted Ram and Bharat character to be seen here, because people were afraid that they may lose their stocks. Their shares were in that company. So like that, Ram and Bharat's character is most glorious. And after this pastime, Kaikeyi, she comes and meets Ram in private. And she begs forgiveness and cries profuse tears. And then Ram tells her, you are not to be blamed. I prompted you. I hereby order you, please live peacefully in Ayodhya, just thinking of me day and night. And very soon, you will be free from all material attachments to this temporary material world. And Kaikeyi circumambulates Lord Ram and joins the party. Bharat carries the golden sandals on the royal elephant, which is shielded by the white umbrella, and they go back to Ayodhya. I would like to conclude today's morning session. Evening, we have a lot of nectar coming from Gaurang Prabhu. But to conclude, I would like to explain how Srila Prabhupada, he would, whenever he would speak about Lord Ram, he would quote this verse. Rama dimurti shusak niyamena, Rama dimurti shu kala niyamena tishthan, nana avataram akarod bhuvaneshu kintu, Krishna swayam sama bhavat paramapumanyo, Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So I was seeing through Prabhupada's lectures on Ramayana, Ram Navami. This verse is always fine, and where he says, where Brahmaji is saying that all the avatars like Ram, all of them are expansions of Krishna. And also in our Gaudiya Parampara, we see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated and glorified devotees of Lord Ram. The brother of Rup Sanatan, Anupam, was a great devotee of Lord Ram. And once Rup Sanatan told him to chant Krishna's names, whole night he tried, but he was only chanting Ram's name, and he became very sad. He said, I cannot give up chanting Ram's name. Actually, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with Anupam's loyalty towards Lord Ram. And that is where this famous verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita comes. Seeing Anupam's devotion to Lord Ram, whom Lord Chaitanya named Vallabhar. Lord Chaitanya chanted this two famous verse. Sei bhakta danya jena chade prabhur charan, Sei prabhu danya jena chade nija jan. That devotee is glorious who never leaves his Lord. Sei bhakta danya jena chade prabhur charan. And our Lord is so glorious. Lord Ram is so glorious. Sei prabhu danya jena chade nija jan. He will never leave his devotee. How he will never leave? Then Lord Chaitanya says, Durdaiva vasha bhakta jadi jaye anya sthane, Sei prabhu danya tare chule dari yane. That If unfortunately, durdaibavasha, if a devotee leaves and goes away somewhere else, say Prabhu Danya, our Lord is so glorious that Shule Daryane, he will pick up that devotee from his shika and get him back. So like that, Lord is very merciful. Also Murari Gupta, he is Anuman. And he once wanted to kill himself because he was feeling so unqualified and he was feeling he has no love and devotion. And Lord Chaitanya comes and chastises him. And there is one lecture of Srila Prabhupada given in Hawaii in 1969 on Ram Navami Day. That whole class is saying how Lord Ram is teaching us how an ideal Kshatriya should be, how an ideal administrator should be. And then that the second half of the whole class is on quality of renunciation. He says Lord Ram is teaching us renunciation. And one of the six opulences of the Lord is renunciation. And there is one more lecture of Prabhupada on Ram Navami given in Juhu in 1974. That is a cornerstone laying ceremony. And that time Mr. Nair and Mrs. Nair are there. And you know how much trouble Mr. Nair caused. And in that class, Prabhupada is glorifying Mr. Nair, Mrs. Nair, and then he says how they are helping us build a temple, just like Rupa Goswami built a temple, Radha Govind. So you also want to build Radha Rasbihari temple for them. So like that. So let us pray today that we can also live by highest standards of integrity. And actually this is what, the process of hearing and chanting is very simple. And this is the only solution for all our problems actually. And there was one very amazing experience I had 2 years back. I want to share this. You know, there is one devotee, one lady, 94-year-old, Usha Mataji. Now she, what happened? She comes for every yatra. She's 94 now. So Sitanath Prabhu was glorifying her to me. He was telling me that how, you know, so much taste for hearing and chanting is there. Some devotees have. So he gave this example of this lady. How she would climb Madan Mohan temple also slowly. She would go. And then he told me a story how once he was in the bus many years ago for a yatra. He was with his two daughters. They got on at Nandgaon, the bus, and they were walking toward Vrindakun, which is quite a distance. And he was thinking, we will not walk. So all three of them decided not to go. And ahead of them, this Mataji was there, Usha Mataji was there, with her daughter. Our youngest daughter is also in Varishth Vaishnava category. They're all, you know, she's also 65 or something. So they were arguing. So the daughter was telling the mother, you should not go, it's long distance. And she was saying, no, there may be katha there, I want to hear. And she was so desperate to hear Krishna katha. And then both of them walked. So Sitanath Prabhu felt so ashamed. So all three of them got up and they also went. So when he told me this, I was very eager. I said, you know, people have so much taste for hearing and chanting. So Madhvacharya Prabhu was there with me. We said, okay, let us go and meet this lady, you know. So in the yatra, they were close to us in Fogla Ashram. So we knew her grandson who had come for the yatra. So he took us. And then we asked her questions, you know. And she was beaming with joy. And she was planning for the next Mayapur yatra. I was amazed at her confidence. And then I asked her, why do you want to come for all these yatras? Oh, so much katha, so much nectar. So then I said, life, you must have, 94 years means you must have seen a lot of ups and downs in life. Life must be full of happiness and distress. And immediately she said, no, only distress. I was surprised, she was saying it happily. Life is only distress. What can be a greater distress, she's saying, what can be a greater distress for a mother than to see her own children dying? I have seen so many of my children die in front of me. So material world is miserable. Only joy is in hearing and chanting. And she does seva also. She does plucking of tulsi leaves and like that. She's completely satisfied in the simple process of hearing and chanting. And it was an amazing experience. You know, Madhvacharya Prabhu and myself, we were talking to her. And then we came to know how she does a lot of seva even at this age. She stays at Nasik. So actually if you see ultimately the process is very simple. We don't have to complicate matters. Even I remember a few years back, before Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj left this world, there was a news in our ashram that he is coming to Juhu for Bhagavatam class. So many of our brahmacharis ran to Radha Rasbihari temple. This is in 2003, something that, during that period. And what a class he gave. Now he was 90 that time, almost 90. And 15 minutes class, you know. 15 or 20 minutes. And whole class he was crying. Harinam! Harinam karo, Harinam lo. And he was just saying, chant. Only Anand, Kevala. He was only repeating this sentence, Kevala Ananda Kanda. I was thinking, you know, for him giving a class means just pouring out his heart. He doesn't have to prepare stories, pastimes. Just pouring out his heart. And after that 15-minute class, he got up to leave. And all the devotees surrounded him. And whoever he was meeting, he was touching them on the head, blessing everyone, anybody who came forward. And only thing he was saying, Harinam. Naam, naam kar rahe ho, naam, naam, chant. Hare Krishna. It was intense, you know, it was intense personified. And just saying, there is nothing in this world, only Harinam. And seeing that, we were all so shaken by that. And then when we see this lady also saying, people who have lived their whole life and their realization is, chant Hare Krishna, hear about the Lord's pastimes, do seva, finish your business, and go back home, back to the spiritual world. So let us pray that, you know, on Ram Navami day, I'm praying for myself, that, you know, we can chant nicely and lead a life of integrity. Even if we are struggling with our mind and senses, let us pray and aspire to be the servant of servant and chant Hare Krishna and hear the Lord's pastimes happily in the association of devotees. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Shri Ram Navami Mahamohotsav Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan Ki